Do you know who you are? Might sound like a silly question to people who are younger, but for those of us who are older, hopefully you realize it's not so silly of a question. Do you really know who you are? Because in the second reading, St. John says in his first letter, we are God's children, beloved sons, beloved daughters of the Father. A wise theologian I know once said that God doesn't so much take us from point A to point B to point C to point D as if our relationship with him was linear. He picks one point and then he goes as deep as he possibly can. Because that one point is so important that without it, you will make very little progress in the spiritual life, if any. And only after we understand this point do we really move. And this one point has to do with your identity. You know, what's the first question we ask people when we meet them, usually? You know, like, what do you do? That's the wrong question. And unfortunately, the identity of most of us does lie in what we do, or where we live, or what we drive, or what we wear, or who we know, or how popular we are, or how beautiful we are. But our true identity isn't in any of this, and I think we know it. It's because these worldly identities don't last. You know, you're a doctor, that's great. But what happens when you're done being a doctor? And you've given your whole life to being a doctor. And you haven't given the time that you need to your family or to your kids because you've been a doctor. You're a football player, great. My classic example I use all the time is Tom Brady. His whole identity was football. And now what? It's gone. He's gone. Somebody just sent me, in between masses, somebody sent me a video of Tim Tebow. And you can say whatever you want about Tim Tebow. Everybody makes fun of him. He makes fun of himself about being cut from so many teams. But he said, in the beginning, he said, I'm here because of the MVP. And he's before Congress. And he says, not what you're thinking, the most valuable player. He's like, I chased that for many years of my life. And I realized in the end that that's not what matters. I'm here before you today to talk about the MVP, the real MVP, the most vulnerable persons, children who are being trafficked across this nation and have a right to understand that they are children of God. That's a man who understands what his identity is. And it sure as heck ain't football. So you're beautiful and everybody loves you and you're famous. You're Taylor Swift. You know what? Taylor's gonna get ugly. I don't even think she's that cute now. And she's eventually going to lose her fame. Some of the students I was talking to said she's already writing songs on this. About how she's so sick of the, like, how fake all of it is. Even she feels the inauthenticity of a worldly identity. You and I are children of God, but do we really believe that? Because until you do, you will chase these worldly identities. And you'll never be free. And what I mean by that is, every identity that is ruled in the world is always subject to the world's approval. And when your worth is based on what other people think of you, good luck. Good luck. Because the world changes its opinion so quick. You can be at the top of everything, the top of your game, and you can be canceled the next day. That cannot be where our identity is meant to lie. Because you will be a slave to the opinion of others. You know, this is clearly laid out in ancient Israel. We heard about them all Lent. You know, they were wandering around the desert for 40 years, just making mistakes all over the place. And now we're reading in the Acts of the Apostles, the new Israel, right? The church. You guys, they were slaves in Egypt for 430 years. That's almost twice as long as we've been a country. Can you imagine the mindset of this people? When I was in Rome studying, if you ever get over to Rome, you'll see them. There's a group of people they call the Gypsies. And the Gypsies, they're all from Eastern Europe. And all they do is beg and steal. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way, because it's the only life they know. For hundreds of years, there was one guy that stood right outside the seminary, North American College. It took us 5 years and about 30 seminarians working on this guy before he figured out he could probably get a job. And he did. And he got out of poverty. One guy, 5 years, 20 seminarians. That gives you an idea of how deeply embedded in these people this identity is. And so it was for the ancient Israelites. And in the mindset that they're in this craziness, God comes in and works these 10 insane miracles, these plagues, these acts of power. And they're set free. And as they're leaving Egypt, they're like high-fiving everybody. And they're taking gold from the Egyptians. And they get out and they're wandering in the desert and they're like, this is great, we're free. And they get up to the Red Sea and they're like, huh, how are we going to get across this? And then they turn around and they see Pharaoh and his army coming. Now you would think this people who witnessed light turn into darkness for 3 days. They witnessed hail and fire come from the sky and rain down only on the Egyptians, not them. They watched rivers and lakes turn to blood. They watched the firstborn of every living thing in Egypt die. Don't you think that at this point they should have just turned to Moses and said, hey, have God take care of that? But they don't. They're like, Moses, you loser! I don't know if that's the actual Hebrew, but it's a paraphrase. They're like, you loser! You brought us out here to die! What does Moses do? Moses knows who he is. Moses knows who God is. And so he puts his hands out and splits the sea in two. And the Israelites walk through, water to their left, water to their right, dry ground. They get through. They turn around. Look! And the enemies of Pharaoh coming into the sea, the water crashes down on them and they are no more. And you guys, they're finally free. Like really free now. Can you imagine what that must have felt like? I'm watching a documentary right now on communism. Don't ask why, but Joseph Stalin was a really bad guy. You guys know that, right? Like, really bad. Like, everybody says Hitler. You know, Hitler's kind of got front stage. And don't get me wrong, Hitler wasn't a good guy. Hitler was a really bad guy, too. But Stalin was responsible for like 60 to 70 million deaths that he signed off on. There are commentaries of eyewitnesses. When people would get around Stalin, even close to him, they would start shaking. That's how terrified they were of this man. When he died, people rejoiced because the reign of terror was over. But here's the problem. They had been in this terror, in this slavery for so long that when Stalin died, they didn't know what to do. And then Nikita Khrushchev just slid right in, and the tyranny continued. The Israelites know they're free, but their identity is still slave. They have not believed yet that God loves them, that God chose them, that God will protect them. Even with all of the plagues, all of the acts of miraculous power, they still don't believe that. And that's why in 6 weeks, they are out in the desert. You know what they say to Moses? We want to go back to Egypt. Back! You were slaves! They killed you at will! They beat you! Your children, Your wives, they used them. You barely had enough food to eat, and you want to go back? Why do they want to go back? Because they think they're still slaves. And on top of this, they realize that they were, now that they're free, now they have to fight to retain their freedom. In order to remain free, you will always have to fight. This happens to a lot of us for the same reason it happened to Israel. We don't know who we are. We don't know what he did. We don't really get it. And because of that, we're not willing to fight because we think we're going to lose. If you look at the world right now, I bet most of us say, what could we possibly do right now? How do we get out of this? That's the wrong question. The one who knows their identity says, God, what do you want me to do about this? How do I fight? Because I know you got my back. I know I can't lose. All of us at baptism were set free. We were made beloved sons and daughters of the Father. But to remain free, and I'm not, don't take this politically. Please do not take this politically. You can live in the land of the free here and be a total slave. A slave to your passions. A slave to power, pleasure, honor, wealth. But if you're God's children and you believe it, you fight. Remember when Israel gets close to the promised land, they send in spies? And the spies come back and they're like, you guys, it really is a land flowing with milk and honey. And everybody's like, ah. And they're like, but there's no way we can overcome the people that are there. They're giants. There's a great line. It says, these people were so big that we must have appeared as mere grasshoppers. And out of a million people, two stand up and say, let's do it. Joshua and Caleb. The only two. Why? Because those two knew who they were. And they knew who God was. And they knew they couldn't lose. You guys, if God could take out the Egyptians, which was one of the most powerful empires of all time, single-handedly, the Israelites did nothing. If he could do that, surely he could take out the Jebusites, the Philistines, whoever these people are in this little dumpy country. But fear blocks you from believing who you really are and knowing what you're capable of. Happiness is found in freedom. And freedom is won by knowing who you are and having the courage to fight to remain free. So who are your enemies? I'm not talking about people you don't like. I'm talking about the vices in your life. You need to go to war with them. Knowing that you're a son of God, a daughter of God. And that he has the power to overcome these, just as he did to overcome all of these worldly powers thousands of years ago. We are God's children. And when you truly believe this, then you will finally know who you really are. You will know your identity. And you will be free. And you'll know there's nothing more to be afraid of. In this Mass, let us ask for the grace to really know who we are.